Hey, what's going on with qualifiers? Welcome to episode number 45 of Unqualified News. I'm your host, M. Mauricio. And I wanted to start real quick with some things that from last week's episode were still on my mind that I wasn't very happy with the answers I gave you guys. So DW.com, what it stands for is Deutsch Well. So here's a small little sentence that I found online to kind of explain what it is. Deutsch Well. DW is Germany's international broadcaster and one of the most successful and relevant international media outlets. Deutsch Well, DW.com. We had an article last week's episode number 44. Another thing too that I wish I would have had a little more info on was when I mentioned the Mayan King Pakal. So here's his full name, which I couldn't remember at the time. It's Kienich Janab Pakal. And here's a little sentence from worldhistory.org. Kienich Janab Pakal was the Maya king of Palenque in the modern-day state of Chiapas, Mexico. Pakal assumed the throne of Palenque at the age of 12 in 615 CE and ruled successfully until his death at the age of 80. And there you go. He ruled over 69-plus years, King Pakal. So, I just wanted to clarify that, you know what I mean? I don't want to upset the Mayan gods. And another thing, too, that I totally blanked on it. I should have just been on Google. Was the tallest building in Los Angeles, which I can see from my window here. And that's the Wilshire Grand Center. And here's a little paragraph that I found explaining this giant skyscraper that was just recently built. The 1,100-foot skyscraper is the tallest building in Los Angeles, California, and the 14th tallest in the United States. Designed by the local firm A.C. Martin, the Wilshire Grand Center surpasses the U.S. Bank Tower by 82 feet. The glass-clad skyscraper, with its 73 stories, includes retail and office spaces, and an intercontinental hotel comprising of 900 rooms and suites. Construction of the project, which began in 2014, is estimated to cost $1.2 billion. And that's the Wilshire Grand Center here in downtown where I'm recording all my episodes now, like I told you guys in the last episode. And I might have gone too much into, you know, how noisy my neighbors are. Probably they're not. I mean, I couldn't even hear it in the last episode, to be honest. After cleaning it up in post, you couldn't really hear anything. I couldn't really hear a lot of background noise. So I'm very happy with this mic situation, this setup that I got going on over here. But I bring up that Wilshire Grand Center is because every single time I go to the gym, I mean, I would have to say I challenge myself, you know, because I feel guilty as shit whenever I don't do it. And I haven't not done it in a very long time. You know, I haven't missed this. And what it is I do 110 floors, so 110 stories on that stepper. You know what I'm saying? That's just to challenge myself every single time I go to the gym. And how I got to that 110 was because I actually looked up that giant building. I knew that this was the tallest building in downtown. And I wanted to be able to tell you guys, my qualifiers, guys and gals, hey, I've been able to climb the tallest building in Los Angeles, but when I was doing it, 73 stories that wasn't enough. Once I got to 73, I was just like, come on, I could keep going. So then I started looking like, what's another tall building here in the United States? And 110 floors was how many floors the Twin Towers were. There were 110 floors, and that's why I chose to do 110 floors. There's another reason. So lately I've been doing 110 floors in under 20 minutes. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I'm pretty proud of myself. So I gotta, you know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta pat myself on the back, my qualifiers. But with that said, let's just get started onto the episode. And not like last time, you know what I mean? Like last time I heard the episode over again and it was just kind of like all over the place. So this time around, I actually read these articles before talking to you guys about them because it just makes more sense. I mean, you know, so here we go. We got three articles, okay? First article is talking about Astroworld. You guys heard about what happened in Astroworld, right? The Astroworld Festival with Travis Scott. I think at the end, 10 people died. 10 young kids, young people. So we're going to talk about that. So there's a casino here in Los Angeles that was fined $500,000, half a mil, for basically letting some rich guy come in with millions of dollars of cash in duffel bags and basically just laundering that money. So we'll go through that in a bit. And I have aljazeera.com right here, and it's talking about the Uyghurs in China. And I've talked about this in the past, and they're in the, what is it, the Xinjiang province. They're in China, where they're basically trying to push them out, and they're doing a lot of like concentration camps over there. I've mentioned this in the past before, but I can't, like, every episode I cannot talk about Myanmar and what China's doing to the Uyghurs and what North Korea is doing to their people. It gets exhausting. Like, I see why the news don't talk about this all the time, because it could get exhausting. It really does get mentally exhausting to always think about these type of things. But that's on here. And of course, I have OJ Simpson. He's gonna patch in and give us a recap on Monday sports. Alrighty, my qualifiers. And the first story is from click2houston.com. It's a local story, so I'm assuming this Astroworld happened in Texas, because a lot of the stories that I was seeing on Astroworld were from Texas. Here it is. Criminal investigation underway in deadly Astroworld festival incident. And this one is from Erica Ponder and Keith Garvin. A criminal investigation is underway after the tragedy at the Astroworld Festival left 8 people dead and hundreds injured. Multiple lawsuits have been filed claiming Travis Scott and the other organizers put profits over safety. Not only are the civil suits mounting in this case, but Harris County and the city of Houston are working together to piece together the deadly chain of events. We're working to figure out which entity can do that investigation, because there's so many different players, Judge Lina Hidalgo said. Accountability is now a major part of the focus. Hidalgo, who attended a vigil near NRG Park Monday evening, said the deaths and the presence of drugs helped lead to the criminal investigation. There are 8 promising young people who aren't at home tonight with their friends and loved ones, and as a result of their ultimately tragic and probably preventable deaths, the situation is probably enough to initiate a criminal investigation to determine whether or not their deaths were something more than simple negligence, KPRC2 legal analyst Brian Wayne said. Judge Hidalgo added that what makes this investigation complex is that you have several agencies, including Harris County and the Houston Fire Department, who were present Friday night, as well as private medical group promoters, producers, and Scott himself, who will be all under the microscope in this investigation. And there you have it, guys and gals. That's click2houston.com, local news from Texas. And yes, Astroworld happened in Texas, baby. Houston, it seems like. And man, I looking into this story, what I was seeing a lot is Travis Scott's been deleting a lot of tweets, man. So I mean you guys probably know, because you know I'm 33 years old, so I haven't, you know, I'm not hip with it. So I'm assuming Travis Scott, like, fans, like, you guys are my qualifiers. Travis Scott fans are ragers. Is this correct, my qualifiers? So Travis Scott fans are called ragers. So he was like, he in a way, I mean, he in a way was inciting them to rage into the festival. And there is some deleted tweets. I don't know the exact wording of it, but I guess, you know what, let me look for it here. Let's see. All right, I guess I could find it real quick. Travis Scott deleted tweet. And you see what it says. Here it is. Look, here it is. Oh, here we go. So at TRVISXX, Travis Scott, blue check mark. And he posted this. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know if this is going to really be so incriminating, because this is from May 5th. So I don't even want to say it, because this is just clickbait. I just got clickbaited. But it says, nah, and we still sneaking the wild ones in. And this was a tweet to somebody saying, hey, you know what, I was trying to get in, but they ran out of tickets. And this was him responding to a fan. So, but this was from May, man. We're talking about months ago. But there's other tweets that I've seen, and there's video of him kind of encouraging this rage mentality. And you don't know, the crazy thing is that Spotify's been just pushing Travis Scott on me for the last couple of days. I don't know, he might have came out with a new album, so that's probably it, but I just thought it was kind of odd. All right, let me shuffle my papers here. Next one is marketwatch.com. LA casino fined $500,000 for looking the other way when a gambler brought duffel bags stuffed with $100 million for marathon gambling sessions. And this one is by Lucas Alpert. Federal prosecutors say the unnamed whale, described only as a Chinese national, made over 100 visits to the Bicycle Hotel and Casino over 8 months in 2016. These wagers were too rich for the Department of Justice's blood. A Los Angeles County casino was hit with a hefty fine for failing to properly alert financial regulators and the Internal Revenue Service when a high roller walked in with $100 million in cash to bet on games of baccarat. Federal prosecutors say the unnamed whale, who was described only as a Chinese national, made over 100 visits to the Bicycle Hotel and Casino over 8 months in 2016, often arriving with duffel bags full of cash to bet on marathon sessions of the high-stakes card game. On numerous occasions, the gambler's assistant would exchange millions of dollars in cash for chips, with the high roller cashing in and cashing out approximately $100 million during the course of his months-long gambling spree, prosecutors said. When gamblers buy over $10,000 in chips using cash, a casino is required to file a currency transaction report and a suspicious activity report with the Department of Treasury. But prosecutors say the casino routinely filed the forms in the name of the gambler's assistant in violation of the law. Last week, the casino reached a non-prosecution agreement with the Department of Justice under which it will pay a fine of $500,000 and revamp its anti-money laundering protocols. The casino's attorney, Johnny L. Griffin III, said the company acknowledged it had made a mistake but quickly moved to amend its filings and was committed to ensuring that all of its compliance and reporting programs are strictly followed and updated as the laws and regulations require. I am pleased that the government, through its extensive and lengthy investigation, has determined and confirmed that there are no systematic faults within the Bicycle Hotel and Casino's compliance and reporting programs, Griffin said. The Bicycle Casino, which sits off the 710 freeway in Bell Gardens, California, has operated since 1984, specializing in card games like poker, baccarat, and pai go. It has frequently been featured on the televised World Poker Tour. In 2017, the casino was the subject of a raid by authorities investigating possible money laundering. A year earlier, a competitor, the Normandy Casino, which was the oldest game room in California, lost its gaming license, and its owners were forced to sell amid a money laundering probe into whether drug dealers were using the gambling den to swap dirty money for chips and then cashing them out for clean currency. The Normandy was later acquired by the late Hustler magazine publisher Larry Flint and renamed Larry Flint's Lucky Lady Casino. In 1990, the Drug Enforcement Agency and the IRS seized control of the Bicycle Casino after it was determined that it had been constructed in part using laundered drug money, and it was later sold to a group of investors. And there you have it, my qualifiers. That's from MarketWatch.com. MarketWatch is a news outlet that talks about things that are happening in the market. That makes perfect sense, right? But you got to pay for the article. So this was probably the last free article that I got from MarketWatch. I bring this hotel and casino up because I pass this hotel and casino up every single day. So now what it says on the hotel, it says Bell Gardens Hotel and Casino, like it's owned by the city type of thing. Yeah, it's owned by the city. And it's pretty wild that they're money laundering in casinos, right? That's crazy, huh? Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk that all these LA crime bosses, all this money from drugs that's moving in Los Angeles was being laundered through casinos? Who would have thunk it? You know, I'm kidding. Obviously, I'm kidding. There's another casino there too, Commerce Casino. And Commerce City Casino. I've actually been to that casino many, many times. Me and my brother in the past couple years back, many years back, we were stuck with gambling. We would love to go in there, play poker. He mainly was good at it. I just went there and lost some money here and there. But every time I was there, I would always look at people, and like people would just look kind of like everyday people, you know, just getting out of work and just putting a little bit of money. But then you'd see those high rollers, you know, those people with the duffel bags of mails. I never saw the mails, but you could tell that something wasn't right, you know. And that's why I wanted to bring this story up, because it makes perfect sense that they closed down a casino. I've never even heard of it, the Normandy Casino. Maybe some of my older qualifiers probably know about it, but I've never heard of that casino, and rightfully so. It's probably been closed for a while. Alrighty, aljazeera.com. My qualifiers, you know how much I love to bring Al Jazeera news to you guys, because they're you know, when I feel like Al Jazeera kind of does stand like in the middle, you know, they don't really take sides, because I've caught Al Jazeera, you know, I guess technically taking both sides, you know what I'm saying? Like really shedding light on both sides of stories. So aljazeera.com. U.S. Holocaust Museum says China may be committing genocide. The United States Holocaust Memorial Museum has released a report detailing evidence of increasing government repression against Uyghur Muslims in China's western Xinjiang region. The report released on Tuesday expresses the museum's grave concern that the Chinese government may be committing genocide against the Uyghurs. The organization Simon Scotch Center for Prevention of Genocide said in a statement. The abuses detailed in the report, the most recent in a years-long deluge of condemnations of Beijing's policies towards Uyghurs, include allegations of force, sterilization, sexual violence, enslavement, torture, and forcible transfer. The findings serve as an update to the organization's previous report. It said there is now a reasonable basis to believe that previously alleged crimes against humanity are growing amid a campaign by Chinese officials to hide their severity in response to international condemnation. The report, which cites witness testimony, publicly available information from dissidents, and accounts provided by human rights groups, said that recently surfaced information signals that Chinese government's conduct has escalated beyond a policy of forced assimilation. This includes, in particular, a deepening assault on Uyghur female reproductive capacity through forced sterilization and forced intrauterine device, IUD, placement, as well as the separation of sexes through mass detention and forcible transfer, the report said, using an alternative spelling for Uyghurs. Tom Burstein, the chairman of the museum's Committee of Conscience, told the Associated Press, "The Chinese government has done its best to keep information about crimes against Uyghurs from seeing the light of day." He called on Beijing to halt its attacks on Uyghur people and allow independent international monitors to investigate and ensure that crimes have stopped. Beijing has repeatedly rejected charges of human rights abuses, forced detention, and other atrocities in the region, saying its policies are necessary to fight extremism and to promote upward economic mobility for Uyghurs and other Muslim minorities. The U.S. and several other governments, meanwhile, have already said that China's actions against Xinjiang's Uyghur Muslims and other minority populations amount to genocide. In October, 43 countries again called on China to allow independent observers immediate, meaningful, and unfettered access to Xinjiang. That came after United Nations Human Rights High Commissioner for Human Rights Michelle Bachelet told the UN Human Rights Council in September that China had again rebuffed requests to access the region. In response to the country's appeal, China's ambassador to the UN, Shang Zheng, accused critics of spreading groundless accusations and unfounded lies. He further accused the US and other Western countries of using human rights as a pretext for political maneuvering to provoke confrontation. And there you have it. That's from AlJazeera.com. My qualifiers. Note the very end of that article, because that's the first thing I was thinking about. This would be the perfect time for us to go to war. I don't want this to happen. Of course, I don't want this to happen. If it was going to happen, if we're trying to fight for human rights, this would be the time, right? Going to war with China is not going to be something easy, you know, and it's not going to be something that is going to end well for anybody, for all sides. It's not going to end well. In the past, my qualifiers, I've brought up the Uyghurs in Xinjiang, and what's happening there is just mass concentration camps. I can't recall if I actually brought this up in Unqualified News, but I know I've read this, where there's people there that are they're working in labor camps, basically. In Xinjiang, they have giant concentration camps. Just imagine factories, but you can never leave. You know, they have their own, it's like cities of just factories that you can never leave. You have family that's born into these factories that are working there. And this is happening in Xinjiang. So definitely 100% China is lying. For the ambassador of the UN to say that these are groundless accusations and unfounded lies, that right there in itself, he's lying. He's bold-faced lying, but he can stand by that, because he can say, oh, well, I wasn't sure, you know. I wasn't sure. But he knows damn fucking well what's going on in Xinjiang. But hey, on that note, let's see what's going on with OJ Simpson and sports. And he's on Twitter at TheRealOJ32. The Real OJ32 on Twitter. If you guys want to follow him, he's an interesting character. He loves sports. He's deep into the sports, and he really does give you that, you know, unqualified information that I love so much. So let's patch in with OJ real quick.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. What a weird weekend of football, huh? Last night, watching the Rams, great coaches, they make adjustments during the game. They don't necessarily have to wait to halftime to make those adjustments. Yesterday, the way Tennessee was coming on to Matt Stafford, you wonder, even the announcers must have said two or three times, you wonder why they wasn't rolling him. In the second half, when they start rolling Matt left and right, moving the pocket, they start having some success. It just surprises me that it took that long to do it. You know, we call it football, not arm ball. It's about running the football. Look at the teams that had success running yesterday. Look at Cleveland, look at Arizona, all of them. The teams that ran the ball well yesterday won. The teams that only threw 40, 50 passes yesterday lost. I don't know what's going on with these great quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. These are great football players. But it seems that they're setting up deep, surveying the entire field, and then they're scrambling trying to make something happen. It seems like they need to throw the ball on time, you know, get these three step drops and get rid of the ball. I don't know. I do know you got to run the football to be successful consistently in the NFL. And we got these great quarterbacks that are, I think they're putting too much on them, too much on Patrick. I guarantee you, I've seen the last two Bills games, they're putting way too much on Josh Allen. The scheme of things have to improve, because they definitely cannot run the football. And you can't win consistently unless you run the football. You got to get tough. A little smash mouth, as my old coach used to say, Lou Saban. In any event, hope you did well on your fantasy, and good luck tonight if you got players playing. Hey, take care. Wear your mask.
And there you have it, my qualifiers. That's O.J. Simpson, a famous running back, telling us that running is what wins NFL games. Come on, OJ, you're being a little biased there, aren't you? Of course you would say running wins games, but normally that is what wins NFL games, right? I mean, I don't really, you know, watch a lot of sports or NFL at that, but I know damn well if you're passing the ball a lot, you could get intercepted and, you know, stuff like that, right? I don't know. And another thing, OJ, no, I'm not doing that well in my fantasy football right now. I think my pick rate is at 62-61%. Yeah, you know what I mean? OJ, I need some help. Alrighty, my qualifiers, guys and gals, thanks for listening. There you go. There you have it. I'm kind of getting used to this recording. You know, I think the first one was probably a little too loud. I had my settings a little too loud. You know, when I brought in OJ, it was a little too low. You know, it's a lot of like things that I'm still learning on this with the new equipment. I was able to interview. Here's the next UN Talk. Next UN Talk episode is going to be an animal control officer. I mean, she wasn't only an animal control officer, she was also an educator. So she goes around educating people, you know, unqualified people like you and I, about animal stuff. You know, don't touch raccoons, you know, don't have possums as pets, stuff like that. I'm just really excited to bring you guys that UN talk. And I'll release it pretty soon. Like I said, I'm trying to release episodes every Wednesday. And I'm going to keep that. Even though right now I'm recording is late. Super late. It's okay. You know what I mean? It's fine. I just won't get that much sleep tonight. That's all it is. My qualifiers. And like I said in the last episode, when I'm recording, it just feels like time, you know, slows down. It's so cheesy, I know, but I don't feel tired, you know what I'm saying? Even though I've been up since 3 a.m. and I've been up for over 12 hours for sure, I still have a little energy for unqualified news, for sure. And again, thank you, my qualifiers. Appreciate your listen. Love you guys so much, and peace.